good old-fashioned vandalism remains a top motivation for malicious hackers. This is Future Tense from American Public Media. I'm John Gordon. Over the past several years, profit motive has become one of the primary reasons for carrying out internet attacks. Organized criminal gangs have exploited security holes to steal credit card and social security numbers, passwords, and other sensitive information. But according to the new Web Hacking Incident Report from Breach Security, the number one motivation for web-based attacks in 2008 was defacement, targeting political parties, candidates, and government agencies. Breach Security's Ryan Barnett.
Sometimes people don't really, I think, give it the due attention that it deserves. You know, they think, oh, well, it's just some cyber graffiti. Somebody changed an image, not a big deal. Unfortunately, I think that's focusing on the wrong issue, because website defacements essentially mean that somebody had enough level of access to your system to alter content and change things. You're kind of lucky if all they did was just change a graphic or something. It could be much worse.
What kind of attacks are we looking at? Where are they coming from, and who are they targeting?
What we did see in 2008 in the U.S., being that it was an election year, and also some global kind of international types of incidents that happened over in Europe with state of Georgia and Russia, so a lot more of these defacements are politically motivated. You know, whatever the end goal being, it's to say, hey, we don't politically agree with something the other side was doing. So they're attacking the website just to get their message out, essentially.
What's so bad about having a site defaced? What negative consequences does the victim encounter?
You know, many websites actually have to go down for a while they do incident response and cleanup measures. So especially for those e-commerce types of sites, you know, downtime is loss of revenue. There's all sorts of other impacts there. Also, there can be monetary loss associated with, you know, if you've disclosed sensitive information, you know, you can get fines associated with that as well. So, you know, there's definite monetary impacts to these types of successful compromises.
That's Ryan Barnett, Director of Application Security Research for Breach Security. And now for some reading recommendations on his Houston Chronicle blog. Future Tense commentator Dwight Silverman writes about Amazon offering a Kindle reading application for the iPhone, and he has a review of the new Kindle 2 device, along with a video review.
I really like the Kindle 2. Your eyes won't get tired reading on it because it uses the e-ink technology. It's not backlit like a computer screen, so it's very comfortable. I sat for hours and read books on it. There are some downsides to the Kindle. It's pretty expensive. $359.
Over on Slate.com, Farhad Manju writes about why computer voices
still don't sound human.
And the Electronic Frontier Foundation has unveiled its new surveillance self-defense site, which it describes as a tutorial on what the government can legally do to spy on your computer data and communications, and what you can legally do to protect yourself against spying. You can find links to these stories on futuretense.publicradio.org. I'm John Gordon.